With us in the studio, Bharat Rocklin. He is a world traveler, spent quite a bit of time in India over the past years, has also written, we have his book in front of us, Palmistry, a comprehensive and reflective guide for the study of palmistry. And we had a chance to hang out even before we started to do this, and I got to know you a lot, I think, in a short period of time. So the idea here is today we're going to wander around and maybe share a little bit about your life story and maybe bring the palmistry in, talk about that.
Yes.
And leave it up to the divine to be the presence of that that orchestrates whatever happens here. So we'll offer this up to a higher purpose, okay? Let's begin with your journey leading to India and back here to the States and palmistry. What was your youth like? I know you're a New Yorker. And maybe start with that and maybe taking us through that period of time that led you to studies in pharmacy.
Right. Well, I grew up in Brooklyn, New York, coming from a Jewish background, first generation. I don't know what to say about that, actually. It's kind of threw me off.
Well, our youths are so formidable in ways we learn and grow up. So, yeah. You know, was it, did you have a happy youth? How was your family to you? What was your education like? Did you like school? Did you fit? Did you not fit? You know, were you a misfit?
No, but this is a whole new subject we can spend forever on.
No, just a little briefing, you know?
Oh, okay. I grew up and I had a mother that was quite mentally ill, and I was quite affected by her. Mm-hmm. I would say that contributed to my initiating journeys to other countries and rebellion. I went to, I was at Woodstock. And from that time on, it was this, I saw that there was something more than just the normal middle-class Jewish life that I could have in New York.
How old were you at Woodstock?
Well, I was like 68. I must have been about 17, 18 years old. Uh-huh. And it was very interesting because it was a place where I was going to anyhow. Every summer, my parents would take us to the country in the Catskills. And they had just happened to have this Woodstock Rock Festival going on there. And even went a few weeks before, and I met the Merry Pranksters, who I didn't even know who they were, of Ken Kesey. And and I would say that was the point that something started to click, that there was something different in life.
Mm-hmm. I know in this book written by Paula Marvelli, is that how you say it?
Yes, that's her name, yes.
Yeah, the teacher is the one living Advaita, conversations on the nature of non-duality. There's a whole section of the book, an interview and a conversation with you. She describes you as a hippie, as an official hippie.
Yeah, I was an official hippie. I had my hair down to my waist, experimenting with psychedelics. And I was even doing in a very intense graduate program in psychopharmacology, which was dealing with the science of drugs, and we were looking into the nature of psychedelics.
Did that kind of the Woodstock generation, and see, because we're about a generation apart. I remember right. Woodstock, but I was in the pharmaceutical industry when right. this was happening. But did that influence you into going into pharmacy school?
No. The pharmacy school was my mother. She said, "You go to pharmacy school, and you get a good job as a pharmacist." That's how I went. I listened to my mother. But before that, I was just a nice Jewish boy. And then Woodstock happened, and then I turned into a hippie. And then I went out to the University of Minnesota to do my graduate work in pharmacology. And that was when the whole, and that was a great place. Minneapolis was a fantastic place. And I got involved in the student demonstrations.
You don't hear that much about Minneapolis in that context during that time. But so it was happening there too. There was a revolution there.
Oh, absolutely. Uh-huh. Absolutely. And I, you know, and also the what was there was the availability of drugs, you know, through my lab. I could get anything I wanted. So I don't know.
Did you do a lot of medicine then? I mean, you know, was that part of your training?
To do medicine?
Yeah.
No, but it was just available. If I wanted to experiment with a certain lucigen that was hardly available, I could order it with no problem, you know. For example,
but do you think that helped you in awakening to different realities?
I don't know. I definitely was part of the generation, and I went deeply into it, mm-hmm. you know, for sure.
So, when did you graduate from pharmacy school?
That was in 1970.
70,
right? And okay. Then I was in graduate school to 74.
Uh huh.
You know.
And then what'd you do when you finished graduate school?
Well, when I finished graduate school, I decided, you know, that I would take off and go to Europe. And that's what I did. I went and I ended up in Paris for a year. I was busking on the streets and selling.
Busking? What's busking?
Busking is singing. I had a guitar, I was singing, and I had this, my girlfriend, she was also singing, and we did great.
So did you open your guitar case and basically that people would throw money in it? And that's how
exactly,
you
yeah. Okay. We would go to the cinemas, because in Paris they would queue the people before the show, and so there would always be a line. So you would go and play the line, you know, sing a few songs and go ask for money and then go down the line. We had it down to a science. It uh-huh. It was a fantastic time of my life.
What was the transition from, let's say, that in Europe and Paris to get to India? Because that happened, went in 76, you told me that happened?
That was, yeah. I went to India in 75, actually.
75.
The end of 75. Well, I had been in Paris for a year and then traveling to Europe, through Europe, you know, Barcelona, Spain, Italy. Then I ended up in Greece. And while I was in Greece, it was a time of year where there was many winds, and it was still hot, but there was many winds, and I was thinking about a place to go, and I met this one man, his name was Magical Mike, and he said, hey, why don't you go to Goa? There's dancing girls on the beach, and you know, and palm trees and dancing girls on the beach. So something just clicked, yes, this is where I'm going to go, because Goa is one little place in India where there's a beautiful beaches, and it's also well known for drugs and for alternative scene, uh-huh. especially during that time. Uh-huh. So I went overland, took 3 months with my girlfriend through Turkey, Iran, Pakistan, Afghanistan, Pakistan, and then India.
So you arrived in India, and you told me a story also. We're speaking off mic about these you thought they were beggars. And did that happen right away when that guy grabbed your wrist?
No, I had been in India for about 3 months before that, and things started to happen, like something started to change, you know, from wanting to go to parties and be crazy and, you know, take psychedelics and stuff like that, to just like being around this hut. I had built like a bamboo hut and just watch the sunsets and be very, very quiet. And how it all started for me on a spiritual side is I witnessed the birth one day of a woman who was having a child in the hut next to me, and she was doing it. She says, I'm trusting in existence. There's not going to be a doctor. We're just going to have this baby. And I was fortunate enough to take part in this. And when the baby came out, something happened. It was like a wind, like a hurricane wind coming through the hut, and we all fell down on the floor and we started crying, and it was just this feeling God was there. Mm-hmm. And so I went back to my hut and I said to my girlfriend, look, I got to find out what this meditation is about. You know, this is like, wow, you know. So that started my search, was this awakening to the presence, the living presence of a divine force, you know. Mm-hmm. And so my journey then took me out of Goa, and I went to North India, and I went to Varanasi, one of the most unique places of the world, Varanasi. And again, I had again experiences of the presence of a divine force when I was in Varanasi. And then I returned to New Delhi, and I was going to leave India because my visa was finished. And it was the day before my train was supposed to leave for Pakistan. And I come out of a building, and I see this man, and he's just standing against the wall, and I just felt my heart explode when I saw this man. My heart just exploded, and I went up to him and give him some money or something like this. And he grabs my arm and looks me really intensely in the eyes. And he says to me, he doesn't say anything, but I'm just looking and I'm thinking like, wow, this is, you know, this is not a beggar. This is a holy man. So to make this a long story short, I went off with this man and I experienced a very profound awakening, which absolutely changed my life. Absolutely changed my life.
So, I mean, I know it's probably a beyond words experience, but what happened in that moment? And then how did you walk around in an altered state of consciousness? And you had, you know, you've had your journeys back in the United States too on various, you know, medicines, pharmaceuticals, whatever.
Yeah.
Was there similarities?
There's no similarities. Anything experienced with the drug, it was dull compared to what happened.
Yeah,
when you go into truth, or what I want to call truth, into reality, it's clear. It's very clear. And any drug experience is dull compared to it.
So, I think you said you lost your sense of self. Is that accurate?
That's what had happened. It was very interesting because I went off with this man, and we went in the back streets of New Delhi. And we sat down in this park, and then this other man from some mysterious place joined us. And we started to, this one man, the other man, he starts making these sounds. And when he makes these sounds, I start feeling like more and more relaxed, more and more relaxed. And he keeps making these sounds and also kind of moving his lips in a very strange way, like, you know. And every time he would do that, I'd feel more relaxed. And it got to the point, He would emit this sound, and I would feel it go into my gut, and I would have to belly laugh. So within 10-15 minutes of sitting with these men, we were rolling around the grass just belly laughing and having the greatest time. And it was like, I was thinking, wow, 20 minutes ago I didn't even know these men, and I'm in the most intimate space that I've ever been in my life with anybody. And then this man who was making the sounds, all of a sudden he comes up to me and he flashes his hand like from my forehead to my belly. He flashes his hand, and when he does that, I'm hypnotized. I can't move a muscle in my body. I'm totally aware. My eyes are open. I can't do anything. And he then takes my right hand and he puts it to my forehead. And when he does that, I felt this energy at the base of my spine rise up like a heat and travel up the base of my spine to the base of the spine, like right below my head by the brain stem there, and right there it exploded. And when that happened, I shot out of my body. And now this is the part when it gets hard to talk about.
But you're having an out of body experience.
Yeah, I was out of body, yeah. And I can still remember at least three different universes that I had gone into. At one point, I was among the molecules, mm-hmm. You know, and of course, it was just places where memory just doesn't function.
Yeah.
There's no way I can talk about what it was or how it was.
How long did that last? You remember?
It could have been, it must have been at least a half hour. Is what I figured, but it was timeless. I had no idea. I felt like I was forever gone.
Mm-hmm. You know, there's an expression, cosmic consciousness. People talk about that. There's been books written by it. Would you say you hadn't?
That's what I say it was.
Yeah.
But actually, the true cosmic consciousness, the state, that happened the next day.
The next day. Okay.
The next day.
So let's go to the next day.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you what happens. I come back and I open my eyes, and there they are looking at me, and I'm looking at them. And You know, but they're looking above my eyes. They're not looking at me. They're looking above me. And I just said, wow, they're talking to a higher self of mine. And I knew nothing at this time about spirituality whatsoever. Mm-hmm. So, but to make the long story short, I left them that day. And the next day I tried to come back and find them again. And I went back to the same place. And I was sitting under the tree in this park. And they never showed up. But what happened to me was all of a sudden, there was, the only way I can describe it, there was an intelligence surrounding me that wasn't my intelligence. Mm-hmm. And I absorbed myself into it. I dissolved into this intelligence. And in this intelligence, it was all knowing, all love. It was all everything. And in that moment, Bharat disappeared. My ego dissolved.
Were you Bharat then, or no, were you Melvin?
I was still Melvin.
Melvin. Okay, because we didn't get your name in. Your given name was Melvin. I love it.
Yeah, one of the reasons to take sannyas. Get rid of your birth name. Anyhow, this is what happened. I dissolved from one second to the next. All my blocks were gone. All my troubles were gone. All my problems were gone. Everything was gone, and I was. And I even said to myself, this is the level that Christ had reached. This was Christ consciousness, because I could just feel the oneness of everything. Just, it was, there was no question about it. And I'm sitting there with my eyes closed, and I open my eyes, and already, like the Indian people, they're very intuitive, especially the untouchables. They were immediately coming and prostrating to me, bowing down to me, giving me their babies to bless. And I was like blessing their babies. It was an incredible experience. You know, it was just like they noticed immediately what had happened to me.
You said the untouchables. What is that? Like?
Well, there's different. There's a caste system in India. And the lower castes are considered untouchables. In the past, you couldn't even touch them. It was considered unclean.
I see.
But they're the most intuitive. They were the ones, they recognized immediately what had happened to me.
Okay.
And where's the middle class, you know. So anyhow, so I walked around in this state for about 3 months in India.
All right, let's do this. I'm going to take our first break here.
Okay.
I remind you, we are talking with Bharat, as his name is pronounced. His last name is... Rocklin.
Yes, that's correct.
We've established that he was formerly Melvin.
Yes.
And, you know.
I guess it has to be told.
It has to be told. We're going to come back and continue our conversation with Bharat, our featured guest today.